Praise the Lord, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 127 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program number 229. If you'd like a copy of the program, you can have it on CD or audio tape. It's absolutely free, and postage and handling is taken care of. It's all free of charge. We have some letters to read from different places in the world. Testimonials of how the literature that the Lord gave me is reaching people, bringing them to the Lord. And we have, as I said, the message. I've recorded quite a few songs with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps, and some of the congregation told me to get them on the radio program here. And so this one is with J.D. and the Stamps. This one was recorded over at Firestone Studios, which is owned by my old buddy Porter Wagner, and I was very thrilled when he came out one day and Dolly Parton wrote a song for me to sing. It's called Hold My Hand. He's talking about the Lord to hold her hand. So I sang it, and Porter came out and says, "Can I sing with you on this, Tony?" Now, you can't tell anybody that it's me on there because I'm under contract with RCA Victor. So I won't tell a soul. Okay, that was years ago, Porter, so, you know. I don't think you're going to mind a little plug. Porter Wagner's one of the best singers around, country-western singers, and he's a good old buddy of mine. All right, let's hear it. And I just got a call from Ronnie Blackwood today. And he's invited me up. They've got a real nice place in the Smoky Mountains. They say it's just like Branson, Missouri, about 2 miles from Dollywood up there. And they have they're singing every morning at breakfast time at one of the places out there. And I plan to go up and see Ron and the Blackwood brothers real soon. But right now, here is Tony Alamo, myself, singing with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps, Swing Down, Sweet Chariot.
Don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, bound and easy. Well, I got home on the other side. Don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, bound and easy. Well, I got home on the other side.
Well, Ezekiel went down in the middle of the field. He saw an angel working on a chariot wheel. Wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. Just wanted to see how a chariot feels. Now don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, bound and easy. Well, I got home on the other side.
Well, Ezekiel went down and he got on board. Chariot wasn't bumping on down the road. Zeke wasn't particular about the bumping on the road. Just wanted to lay down his heavy load. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord.
How it is, well, I got home on the father's side. Well, I got a father in the promised land. Ain't gonna stop until I shake his hand. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Bound and easy, well,
I got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, bound and easy, well,
I got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Bound and easy, well, I got a home on the other side.
praise the Lord. Yeah, I've got a home on the other side. Amen. How about you, everybody out there in Baby Land, hanging right here? Praise the Lord. Everybody here saying amen. Well, when I get out to see old Ron Blackwood, I'm going to make those Blackwood brothers sing a few songs with me, record them. I'll take them into the studio out there, and we'll get to going again. Praise the Lord. You got to kick the gong. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now let's go up to the throne of the Lord to ask him to anoint outwardly this everything that's done on this tape today. And in the meantime, line up I, John, with J.D. Simon and the stamp so that we can play that at the end of the program, okay? Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, we just thank and praise your holy name for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. You've given us the knowledge of life, the wisdom and knowledge of life. And you've given us the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Yeah, you said, Lord, that people will never serve you if they don't fear you. And so we pray, Lord, that the fear of the Lord, that you'll... you stated that you'd pour out your Spirit upon all flesh in these last days. And this means that you're pouring out your Spirit through your missionaries, people like myself and others in the world. You're anointing us and... we're preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven to those that are here on earth. Because your goal is to bring about the kingdom of heaven here on earth just as it is in the kingdom of heaven. And that your will be done here on earth just as it is in the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And so let your will be done in this program, Father, here on earth. Let every word, you do the talking. And we'll do the listening, Father. We pray that many souls will be saved from this broadcast, and that the church will be prosperous and also by being strengthened and nurtured and given more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding of your word and your purpose. Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Where's the first letter from?
From Greece.
Greece. Now, the Greeks are the ones that actually invented democracy. They've always been known as thinkers, and their philosophers, Plato, Socrates, and many others are Greeks. I mentioned another one earlier, Socrates, Plato,
Aristotle.
Yeah, they're all Greeks. And They are considered, when they were running everything in the world at the time when they were the rulers, they were thought of as being the wisest people in the world. So let's see what they say about our literature here.
The Messiah book is excellent.
Well, the Lord gave that Messiah book to me, and we worked on that book for a minimum three or four years on that book. 3 years in Florida. Okay, and what he says, what does he say? Say it again. I want to hear what these wise people say over there.
The Messiah book is excellent.
Praise the Lord. So he's, okay, go ahead.
This study really helps to learn the truths about him and his coming to earth. Thank you. From Jenny in Thessalonica, Greece.
From Thessalonica. Now, Paul was there, and now we're there. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, where's the next letter from?
From Cameroon.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, be blessed in the name of Jesus. I am truly delighted to have received the literature that you have sent me. The Lord bless you and help you with all the believable Bible truths that you are telling the world. You are truly a pastor of the truth. You know that in these days we are in, pastors twist the meaning of the Bible to please the world.
That's for sure. The false prophets that call themselves pastors, teachers, preachers, evangelists. You got to watch out, people. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Amen?
Amen.
Be careful. We're right at the brink of the coming of the Lord. There's so many signs and wonders happening. And, you know, watch out, too, for these false prophets, because now they're sending a bunch of them out of the Vatican, and they're being interviewed on Benny Hinn's show and other shows like that, telling of all these different prophecies that are going to happen, because they're the ones that are doing it. They say this country's going to collapse and this other country's going to collapse, and it makes it look like they're actually prophets. But the Bible says, tells us which country is going to collapse and which one's going to be given power and all these things. So, you know, they also stated that there was going to be a lot of, we have to watch out for terrorists, especially in the early fall of, and I said, as soon as I heard that, it was in the Sun magazine, that's a tabloid that they sell at the supermarkets, I said, it's for sure they're going to do something, because they're not prophets at all. They're false prophets, and they want to be believed, so they're telling us that that's going to happen. They're able to do that. They're able to tell us the catastrophes that are going to happen. It's because they're the ones that are doing it, and they're able to go over there and stir up the nuts in Israel and Lebanon and all these different places in the world. But God is pouring out his wrath on different places in the world. I talked to Buster in Africa this evening, and he was telling me all the different catastrophes that are happening in the world, where there's thousands of people drowning in different areas, and famines and other plagues that God is hitting people with. And he says that you just don't hear them on NBC, CBS, ABC, or CNN, or any of these television broadcasts. They keep all that news away from you because they don't want you to believe the message that the Bible says that there are going to be terrible plagues coming down on earth in the last days. But I'd like to, tomorrow on the broadcast, to edit some of these things out of the conversations that Buster's had with me on the telephone, where he's telling of all these different plagues that are happening overseas, and all the famine and the filth and everything that's over there in the area where he and his wife are. And they said they're causing quite a sensation over there right now. They're wearing the rhinestone t-shirts with the emblem of our church on there, and everybody, all the Africans over there want one. And anyone can have one as long as they're a distributor. They're free of charge, but and the literature is free of charge, and these tapes are free of charge, and the CDs. Why? Because the Lord, the Messiah books and Bibles are free of charge. If I know that you're a distributor and that they're really going to people that want to know the truth. And the reason it's free is because I didn't pay 1 cent to be saved. God came and got me in a very supernatural way, and I would just feel it was awful if I ever charged 1 penny for Bibles or literature or tapes of the broadcast or anything like that. So it's just, and Buster says that there's no one over there, not in Western Africa, that is, none of these major evangelists are over there at all. Yeah, he found two groups of people over there that have been reading my literature, and they're saved. And I sent him over there to find out who the real ones are over there, and the ones that are just making up stories about that they're sick or their wife is ill or something like that, and that they want to distribute literature. Buster went over there and found a whole flock of them that were not telling the truth. But he did find two large groups of people over there that are really of the Lord. And he spends a lot of time with them, almost, I think it's every day. All right? Okay, so let's finish up with this letter here.
Pastors twist the meaning of the Bible to please the world, but with you it is different. Those who are of the truth will listen to your Bible teachings, John 8:47.
Right, that's the way. Democracy, you know, you can take, you're able to get a group of people together, a bunch of citizens, and you can protest the different laws and the rules and regulations of the government and try to change the government. And many times people have done that. But this is not so with the kingdom of heaven. The laws are laid down, they're settled in heaven, and there's no one, it doesn't make any difference how many citizens you get together, You didn't vote God into office, and you're not going to vote him out. He is the supreme being, and he is over us all, and we'll either do what he says, or we will not be in heaven. We will for sure be in the pit of hell. And so, therefore, I have chosen to preach only what he says. I'm not a preaching bush like some of like Reverend Hagee, Reverend, quote, Reverend, unquote. And he says, why are you fighting President Bush? Don't you know he's our only hope? Well, if you're a preacher of the gospel, for heaven's sakes, why are you saying that Bush is our hope when he and Clinton and people like that, Clinton is the one that ordered the people to be killed. These pitiful, poor Christians over at Waco. And Bush is bombing people on hearsay. He's no more Christian than the devil is. But we're praying for them both to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what you're to do. I mean, somebody threw a grenade that didn't go off at President Bush. This is the wrong thing to do. All you people out there in Radio Land, don't ever do anything like that, because then you'll be just as bad as they are. We're praying for you people that are copycats of the things that are happening on television, because you have to be very weak-minded. Don't you know that the media is controlled by the devil and the Vatican, and that they make the rules and regulations of what can be played? Young women out there and men, I mean, you are seeing filth and degeneracy on television. And so, therefore, you decide, well, it's the thing to do. It's the latest. It's the greatest. So you decide to expose yourself and to get involved in every filthy, dreaming type situation, because you're copycats. And people that are watching the violence on television, even little kids are going out and killing their friends or the people that go to school with them. And the idiotic scientists and government, they after they get killed, these people that are doing the killing, they open their brains to see if they can find out if their brain is ever any different than yours or mine. Their brain is no different. It's just that they are possessed with the devil. You can't, under a microscope, see the devil. It doesn't matter how, it won't matter what kind of a microscope you have or a telescope. You can't see the invisible. And that's what it is. They're demon possessed. And if you try to make any kind of other reasoning other than what God's word, the King of the Kingdom of Heaven, said, it's laid down. When he says it's demon possessions, it is demon possessions. And when you people are trying to make it look like you're going to fish around in somebody's brain after you crack their skull open and do an autopsy on them, you're not going to find anything in there any different than you would in anybody else's brains. It's just a demon possession. Once they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, once they invite Christ into their heart with the Father by the Spirit, that demon or demons depart, and they're no longer there. And they would never, after Christ with his Father by the Spirit that are in them, would never commit these crimes. So it's obvious that Satan is the one that's fighting those of us that are preaching the gospel, because they don't want there to be a cure. There'd be, do you know how many police officers and marshals, U.S. marshals, and all these cops of every kind, district attorneys and everything, that would be out of work if everyone received the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart? Because there wouldn't be any murder, there wouldn't be any adultery, there wouldn't be any fornication, there wouldn't be any lying or stealing or murder. And the presidents of the United States that are preaching democracy, God is not a Democrat or a Republican, he is God. All right? And you just have to listen to what he says. His law is, he's the king and he is the law. Read the Bible and receive him before it's too late. We're at the end of time. Okay, then what?
May the Creator who has trusted you with this heavy task give you the power to take it on without turning neither to the left or to the right. My team and I need 30 French Bibles, 5 English Bibles, 30 French Messiah books, 5 English Messiah books, 4 large print Bibles, a Bible dictionary, and quite a few French and English pieces of literature, including the Pope's Secrets and the Fugitive Pope, and many other things that you choose. The Lord bless and watch over you and your work companions, and here is my address, Sister Patrice, in Nangsaba, Cameroon, Africa.
All right. Now, people that have large groups of Christians, like in Africa, the leaders of those groups that don't send more than 10 Bibles at one time, no more than 10 Messiah books, and no more than 500 pieces of literature. I've been sending out hundreds of Bibles here and there, and I said, why? And Buster said they told him because the people there, there's a lot of people that get wind that those Bibles are coming in, and they sell for $50 a piece on the streets of the most poverty-stricken places in Africa. And so they'll come and grab those Bibles when they come in great quantity. And it's hard for the leaders of those countries to dole them out in discretion if there's a lot of them. So what we're doing is sending 10 at a time. And you're asking for 30 Bibles of this and 30, so we'll send 10 French Bibles, 10 English Bibles, 10 Messiah books in French and 10 in English if they want, and whatever, and the 500 pieces of literature. And when you're, then we can do that every 2 weeks or every month or something like that. We'll just send it to you so that you can exercise some control over it. I used to send out a lot, lots and lots of money, but he says don't send more than 1,000 a week. And so because they would get wind that there's money over here and they'll come crashing, there's millions and millions. There's actually 1 to 1.5 billion people in Africa. And the same thing with India and the same thing with China. And they'll just come swarming in on us and take them and just sell those Bibles. And the different literature, we heard that they're selling my literature over there for just a piece of literature for $10. And that's sort of whatever, I guess, the traffic bears, whatever they got on them. Okay, next letter, please.
This is from Farmington, Michigan.
Farmington?
Yes.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony and Ministry Saints of God, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you so very much for the recent shipment of tapes. I listen to them on my way to work, and they are a source of strength. I also listen at work on the internet of your teachings. There is no way one could listen to those teachings and not act upon the truth and be blessed. However, many love to have their ears tickled with false teachings and know no change or true repentance in one's life. We who name the name of Christ must depart from iniquity and obey our Savior and Master. I want to be in His number when He calls His bride to go to be with Him. Thank you once again for the tapes. Thank you again, and God bless each and every one in the Lord's richest and fullest blessings. Amen, in Jesus' name. With love, Kathy from Farmington, Michigan.
Praise the Lord. You have another one?
Yes, from Chihuahua, Mexico. To Pastor Tony Alamo and World Churches, Pastor Tony, receive my salutations from a servant who appreciates you for your work as a minister of God. I send my greetings to all at the Alamo Churches, your children and wife. I write to thank you for the newsletters and the literature that I have just received. Thank you for them, because they truly are a blessing from God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know the Lord will continue blessing you greatly. There was a time when I would walk from one end to the other, and I could not find peace. I was searching for God, but I could not find peace until I found the truth through your literature that has helped deliver me from the chaos I was walking in. I would go to church, but I still felt empty inside. I left feeling the same way when I walked out of the church when I walked in. But thanks to Brother Jose, who was the one who handed me your literature, and now I have been distributing it throughout the city. As soon as I began to do this, problems arose because of your literature, because very few people like the truth.
Oh, that's true. But when you know the truth will set you free. And Satan has, either the Lord is living in you or Satan is. There's just no in between. And so, naturally, the devil that is living in the most of the people in the world out there, they don't want to hear the truth because Satan has puts a fear in them of the truth, and they fear it and they hate it. It's not them, it's the devil in them that hates it. So if you people will just listen to the word of the Lord, pay attention to it and ignore these fearful feelings when you're hearing the truth. Ignore them and just receive it, and you'll see that once the things that you hated, you'll now love. And the things that you once loved, you'll now hate. And you'll hate it so much. I mean, I remember before I was saved, I did not want to hear the gospel. And I wouldn't hear anybody that was preaching it. And then the Lord gave me some very supernatural experiences, and that's what saved my soul, which brought me to the Lord, that led me to Him and led me to fear Him. And because it was an awesome thing, more than awesome, quadruply awesome to know that God is really alive, that He hears everything and He's seeing everything we're doing. And that, I've heard all those things before, but when I felt His Spirit bearing down on me and pulling my breath in and out of my body and talking, shutting my ears off and talking right into me, that did it. That set me off on a spree to start seeking for Him. And I went to bookstores and churches everywhere, and they were not preaching the same thing that God told me. And I'd never read a Bible, and I thought that Bibles are too common. There's too available. The truth could not be in there. But I did open up a Bible, and it so happened to be at the Beatitudes, where blessed is a man. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I thought, that's what I really want. I want to know what's right. It's like this person here that's walking around in confusion, and then the truth came into them, and they're not walking in confusion anymore. I was confused because there's so many different religions. So many people say that they have the truth, but the truth I found in the Bible, in the King James Version of the Bible. And if you'll just read that and follow what it says, then all the confusion will be gone. Or listen to my tapes, or read my literature, read the Bible, read the Messiah book, and you'll see that this will take all the confusion away from you, and you don't have to fear losing anything. You won't lose a mother or father. What you do is gain thousands, millions of mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. Because we'll take care of you. We take care of one another, those of us that are Christians. There's no such thing as poverty in the commonwealth of the Lord. We're living in a kingdom now, those of us that we're not Democrats or Republicans anymore. We're now living in the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven. We're kingdom people. And it's very hard for people to get out of the school of thought of democracy when you've been raised in it all of your life. But you have to start to receive the kingdom of heaven in your heart, and you have to begin thinking like a kingdom person in order for you to. And then once you do, and once you get used to it, it'll be just like driving a car. Once you learn how, or if you drove a bicycle, you know, you just never really forget how to do that. And you live the kingdom life, and then all things are added unto you. Prosperity, healing, divine intervention, protection from God, defense. He defends you. It's just, it's so marvelous. So don't fail to receive the Lord tonight. And don't be afraid to do it, because God will never hurt you. The one that wants to hurt you, and the one that is hurting you, is the one that's living in you. The people in Africa, over there in West Africa, are living in arch poverty. Sometimes you see pictures of Africa, Buster said. He said, it's just like in every area they have a hotel that's, you look inside of it, outside there's dung and urination and horrible disease, filth and degeneracy everywhere. people going to the lavatory right in front of everybody on the streets. And you go into these a little hotel there or something, and that's for the wealthy people or the people that are with the United Nations. And it's beautiful in there. They've got the people, there's like tropical-looking trees inside, and nice food and things like that. And then there are beautiful places in Africa. They said there's mountains, you know, they'd say way off in the distance from West Africa, and the lakes, and there's the ocean. But the people are cursed because they don't know Jesus. The ones that are of the Lord, we are supporting them now. And that's just why I'm telling you, we support those that are real Christians. You can't fake it. We know who you are because, you know, there's a kindred spirit that's in us, that's in other Christians, that we can tell if you're of the Lord or not. We get all kinds of letters hustling us for finances and things like that under false pretenses. The people say, well, my wife is in the hospital and she's dying. Can you please send me some money to get her? So we say, well, what's the name of the hospital? And what's the name of her doctor? And you never hear from them. Or if they do, we call, and there's no such person. There's no such doctrine, and she's not in the hospital. There's nothing that's the truth of it. We know how to weed the real ones out. Then there's sometimes people say, yes, the doctor is so-and-so, and the hospital is so-and-so, and he wants $500 or $1,350, and we're Christians. See, we can't, with the money that the Lord sends in to support the Christian church, we can't support the world or people out there that don't care anything about the Lord. The money that the Lord gives us is for to support our brothers and sisters in the Lord, the people, the kingdom people. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the way it is. Okay? So, you know, we've been fooled, but, you know, we've been through the banishing school, so to speak. And we have people in the different areas of the world. Over 200 different areas that we know of, different countries, and, you know, they report. We send people over to where you are. If you're real, don't worry, we'll take care of you. Lord willing. Okay, then what?
1,000 thank yous, Brother Tony Alamo, because if it were not for you, I would be out in the world drinking and doing drugs. May the Holy Spirit keep guiding your path of truth. Brother, send me some backpacks so that I can carry the literature. I would need about 3 of them, if possible, and more literature.
Right? You know, this verse is of the Lord. They're not asking for anything but some backpacks to carry the literature because they're evangelists. They're out there winning souls. Then what?
This is from Brother Jaime from Chihuahua, Mexico.
Praise the Lord. Any more?
No, that's all for now.
Okay, Sharon, let's go with program 229.
We are commanded to speak only what our government and the king of our government tells us to speak.
Right. We can't have our own opinions, our own thoughts, our own devices. If we're diplomats from the kingdom of heaven, we must only quote what the king of our kingdom says, what he tells us to say, and we can't say anything other than that. If you do, well, then you're not, you're still a Democrat or Republican, and you're lost. Then what?
We are not to speak our own personal opinions at all, or our own wants, needs, or views.
No, because we're diplomats here in the United States that are hooked up with heaven. We're sitting on the throne of God in spirit with the Lord, Jesus, and people that are in England. We have people there in England and Africa and Mexico and all different places, Chile, Greece, Italy, France, all over the world, and they are diplomats of the kingdom of heaven there, in those countries, and around 200 countries in the world. Then what? So we have to say, we have to let people know that we're from the kingdom, so we can't come up with any new laws, or we can't protest any of God's laws, because he's the ruler of the entire universe. You don't tell God, what doest thou, or we don't like the way you made us, or we don't like your word, and all these things. Who are you? You're made out of the dirt of the ground, for heaven's sake. And you can't say that to God. You can say it, but you're not going to be happy when you run into him on the day that you give up your breath, the spirit. Because your spirit, your soul, is going to go on someplace, either in heaven or hell in the lake of fire. And you better listen to the king. Amen?
Amen.
A different kingdom said they'll kill you if you do anything other than what they tell you to do. Like, for instance, somebody told me when they went to Singapore, they were merchant sailors. They were on the boat, and they told everybody, get out of the boat. Come on down. And when they were lined up to get off the boat, they looked down. Here was a gallows up there. And said, what's going on? We want all you people to observe these people being hanged down here. He says, these people were smoking pot. And if we catch you, I don't care what country you're from, they said, you're from the United States, the United Kingdom, London, so wherever you're from, or Japan, or anywhere. If we catch you smoking pot or taking some kind of pills over here, you're going on the gallows, and we're going to call the town folk together. This is in Singapore, and they hung them right in front of it. And those sailors thought, my God. Here in the United States, in the democracy, they let a lot of people say, we think it's right to smoke pot. Well, go over there and tell them that, okay? They don't put up with any of your foolishness over there. You know, everybody knows what pot does. Everybody knows what pills do. But we're our own bosses, okay? Go to Singapore and tell them that. And go ahead and smoke some weed in front of those people over there and see what happens. You'll be swinging from the end of a rope. People be looking up at you. You do that people look up at you one of these days, but it'll be... they're looking up at you while you're hanging from a gallows over there. So there's now those are stiff laws, you think. But the Bible says no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. If you don't go to heaven, there's only one other place you can go. That's the lake of fire after you go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
So you can do whatever you want here. The Lord, they say, well, the Lord hasn't done anything to us. We've been snorting cocaine and shooting up with heroin. We've been... taking crack, this angel dust or whatever it is, and smoking pot and all this, and we're still alive, you know, God's not going to do it. The Bible says you can run on for a long time. One of these days, God's going to cut you down. He just lets you, he lets you hear the word. He's a good God. He just says, yeah, give them a chance, let them hear the word, and if they reject it, that's when you're going to get cut down. Or if you start fighting the house of God, you're going to get cut down. The word of God is true. And one of these days you're going to find out it's absolutely true. And there's no way that you're going to change God's laws. You can get people over there at Washington, D.C. You can gather together all the people in the world and say, we protest against God's. We believe it's all right to commit adultery. We believe that it's okay to have sex with our neighbor's wife, or our wives to go out and have commit adultery or fornication. You could do that. But wait till you stand before the great white throne. We're preaching the gospel to you so that you know these things before you stand before the Lord. You got to stop your lying, okay, and stealing. And shaving the truth, even. You got to stop committing adultery, fornication. You got to stop murdering people. Because the Lord says, thou shalt not murder. If you murder, I'll murder you, the Lord says. Judgment is mine, saith the Lord. So be careful. Just repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You are hearing the law of the kingdom of heaven, and you're going to stand there one of these days. For judgment, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment of God. Okay, then what?
Hence, whenever an ambassador is asked by someone on earth to comment on any of the issues of the kingdom of heaven, we must be obligated to say what they are, and to say we are from the kingdom of God, and what our position is.
Right, if I'm on Larry King's show, he won't invite me on, but he did... Billy Graham, and he did also Billy Graham's daughter, and he also had on Joel Osteen, and he asked them pointed questions about You know that you believe there's a devil, and all of a sudden they just blushed like little girls. Well, I just don't preach about that. I don't want to make enemies. I want to be a friend of the people rather than a friend of the Lord, is what they're saying. Larry King knows if he gets me on his program, he says, "Is there a devil?" I say, "Yes, and you're possessed with him, just like I was before I was saved, and you need to ask the Lord to enter your heart. You're Jewish, and so am I. But now I'm a Christian, a Christian Jew, a completed Jew, just like the Apostle Paul was, and all the other apostles. And you need to ask Jesus into your heart. Is there a devil? Yes, there is. Can't you tell with all the things that are going on earth? Who do you think's creating all these things?" I would have gone on and on with that. And then let him interview me. He's a coward to call me on. Nobody's going to call me on and ask those questions to me because they already know what I'm going to say. Amen?
Amen.
And I want you all to know what I'm going to say. Read my literature. Read my lips. Okay, then what?
We're ambassadors. The kingdom of heaven has a constitution just like the United States does.
Right, that constitution is the Bible, the Old and New Testament. Go ahead.
But the constitution of the kingdom of heaven never ends.
No, it's died, it's settled in heaven. God is not going to change it. You can get all the committees you want, and you can get all these lobbyists in Washington, D.C., and say, "We don't believe in what this scripture here." You're not going to change it. You can keep talking about changing the laws of God until you're purple in the face. But in the end, all you're going to do is have a purple face. And that's what you're going to be left with. Because God is not going to change one jot or tittle of His Word. Amen?
Amen.
You can talk and talk and talk until your face turns silver. But when it's all said and done, you're just going to have a silver face. Amen?
Amen.
But the law of God is going to remain the same. Always. It never changes. Not like democracy. So you got to get out of that democracy school of thought. You have to change. Your heart has to be changed. And then your thinking has to be changed. Christ has to live in your heart and in your brain. The Word of God is Christ. Christ is the Word of God. Then what?
No one can change it.
No one. No one, not even the President of the United States of America. As a matter of fact, he'd be the last one that could change it. Nobody can change the law of God. Not the Vatican, not the Buddhists, not the Muslims, not the any isms. Shintoism, Hinduism, Mary Baker Eddy, Billy Graham, any of the people, there's nobody in the world that's going to change the laws of God. Go ahead.
That constitution is the Bible. Quote, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or tittle shall pass away until all be fulfilled," unquote. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18.
Amen.
So we have to show the Bible, the Word of God, the kingdom's position on every matter. The Lord tells us to go into all the places of the world and be an ambassador of the government of God, the government of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the commonwealth of heaven.
In other words, we're to establish the kingdom of heaven thinking here on this earth. And we have to do it now. Because we're not going to do it once we die. Once the spirit goes out of our body and we're either in heaven or hell, you're not going to change anything. So we have to work while it's still day, while we're still here. Amen?
Amen?
Well, it's our day. We have a certain dispensation of time to get the gospel out, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the truths of the kingdom of God, and this is our dispensation to do it. You've got to do it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with zeal, or the Lord's going to spit you out of His body, out of His mouth. Okay? So you're not going to come back and try it again. "Oh, God, we found out now that you're real. Oh, please let us go." No. Once to die, and after death, the judgment. You're not going to come back and do it again. Then what?
He never tells us to go and speak of religion. Study your Bible. In other words, know your constitution, the kingdom of heaven's constitution.
Right, and instill it into this world. Democracy, we're not living in a Greek government, and we're not living, if we're in the spirit, we're in the kingdom of heaven. We're not in the Roman government. We're not in the Persian government. We're in the kingdom of God government, kingdom of heaven. And so you better learn your constitution, because what you have in this world with you is what you're going to take out of the world. And the only thing that you're going to save is your own soul. If you, and the only way you can save it is if you accept the constitution of the Lord. He says, believe on the entire word of God and thou shalt be saved. Well, you can't receive it all at once, but you can receive salvation and accept Christ into your heart, and then you better start learning, study. Put on the whole armor of God, which means the whole Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And so when you say, when the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, what it's really saying is believe on the entire Word of God and thou shalt be saved. And your house. All right, so go ahead and read some more.
Know it, live it. Breathe it in order that you can understand the Lord's position on every issue pertaining to eternal life.
Right. Eat, drink, breathe, live every moment of your life in the kingdom life. You know, it's not your life anymore. Let the Lord live in you. Let the Word of God live in you. Okay, then what?
It's our nature to resist being ruled or controlled by others.
Right. Nobody... you know, who do you think you are? I saw somebody, they were a lot of people at the airport are standing in line, and somebody just walked in front of them, and this guy got so uptight. Who do you think you are walking in front of me? You know, you're prejudiced. I'm black and you're white, and you think you can just walk in here and do this. But nobody in this whole world is going to read this sentence again.
It's our nature to resist being ruled.
Yeah, so you just don't want to be ruled. People don't want to receive the Word of God, to be ruled by it, but we must be ruled by it, or else we divorce ourselves right out of the kingdom of heaven, and we lose all the wealth, the commonwealth, healing and defense, and the ability to cast out devils and to lay hands on people, the sick and afflicted, and to be able to raise the dead. We lose all that if we if we don't discipline ourselves to be ruled by the Word of God. We have to be the Word of God is the Spirit of God also, and it's the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. And so we have to just accept that we are people that need to humble ourselves. The beginning of Ezekiel, God tells us that Job was the wisest man in the world. He was the richest and the wisest. And wise means that he feared God more than anybody. Maybe didn't have understanding, and we'll see at the end of the book that he really didn't have understanding, but he was wise. He feared God and kept his commandments. And like at I think it's the 38th chapter, he's telling that all throughout the chapter, the book of Job, he's telling these people, arguing with these people and defending himself and telling them all about God. But then at the last chapter, he's telling them, you know, were you there when, tell me, Job, were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? And when I set the footings down there, were you? Tell me how I did that. And he went with a whole stream. Is that the chapter?
Yes.
Okay, start reading some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And here he's very embarrassed, Job, because here he thought he knew everything. But then he says, I heard about you, but now I see you with my own eyes. I can see you now. And so if Job, being the wisest person in the world and the one that was blessed more than anybody, had more riches and wisdom than anybody, Who do you think you are that you can question God or to question his word? And go ahead, read some of it real quick. We only got
Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?"
So, in other words, he's the wisest guy in the world. And he's saying, "You don't have any knowledge, Job." And so Job was far wiser than you and I. And we're only wise when we accept the word of God. Okay, keep reading.
"Gird up now thy loins like a man, for
okay.
I will..."
Now, strengthen yourself. Get up. Okay, let me tell you something, the Lord says. Let me ask you some questions. Go ahead.
"For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me."
I want you to answer the questions. Go ahead.
"Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?"
Well, you weren't even around. Idiot. Job was an idiot. Well, answer, Job. Go ahead, answer. "Where were you people out there when the Lord laid the foundations of the world?" Then what?
"Declare if thou hast understanding."
Yeah, go ahead and tell God you know how he did it. Then what?
"Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest?"
Yeah, who set the footings? Who drew the lines and who set the footings? Who measured the depths and the heights and the widths and the breadth and set up gravity and the hemisphere and the ionosphere and all these things? Come on, answer me, Job. You're smart, ain't you? Okay, come on.
"Or who hath stretched the line upon it?"
Yeah, who's measured it? Okay, then what?
"Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened?"
Yeah, where's the footings? Where did I put the footings, Job? If you're so smart, okay? Then what?
"Or who laid the cornerstone thereof?"
Yeah, who did that? Then what? Was it man? No. Who made the law? The law that you have to abide, because I, God, said that if you don't abide by my law, if you don't keep it, if you don't walk in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you're going to hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
"When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors."
Yeah, where's those bars and doors at, Job? What are you, a sheep herder or something? Are you going to know where I did all this stuff? What are you people out there, accountants? You know how, with the hundreds of millions of other people how to run a computer? Tell me how I did all this, okay? Doopy, then what?
"And said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed."
Okay, get to the part where he says he's embarrassed. He says, oh, God. Well, he was just cut to his heart.
"Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee."
Yeah, so I know that you're the boss, in other words. No one can hold even their thought away from the Lord. Amen? Then
Amen.
What?
"Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge?"
Yeah. Who? Can you hide knowledge from God? The little you know? Okay, then what?
"Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not."
I didn't know anything. I didn't understand any of these things. God, my Father. Holy God, you're making me fear you, God. Okay? All right, so read that chapter, because it just goes on and on and on with a myriad of different questions that the Lord, asked Job. He didn't know any of the answers. Well, it's those of you that don't know the answers, but I'm telling you some answers right now. Here's an answer on how you can get saved right now and become born again of the Spirit. And even Job didn't know that. But you can know, you know it now. All you have to do is say this prayer to the Lord, and that's the beginning of salvation. So just say it now. And don't fight the Lord, or don't think that you're wise, because we're not. Now go ahead and say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, with the Father by the Spirit. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. The word that created heaven and earth and everything in it. Hallelujah. Therefore, Lord, your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Now raise your hands up and thank and praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father God. And thank you for all this wisdom in the Bible that tells us all things. Except he does withhold, you know, he tells us that he's the one that laid the cornerstone and all these things. Now, Sharon, tell them how to receive a copy of this program.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, so until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, praise the Lord and God bless you. And I'm going out now singing with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps, I, John.
Well, and I just saw a mighty number way up in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw a mighty number moving way up in the middle of the air. Mighty, well, I just saw a mighty number moving way up in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw a mighty number moving way up in the middle of the air. Well, there were three gates in the east, and three gates in the west, and three gates in the north, three gates in the south, and that made 12 gates to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, come mighty, you will have chance on mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, that John's almighty number, way in the middle of the year. Oh, John declared that he saw a man, he had 12 bright stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, I wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Well, he felt the gospel come like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice, he said, John, take a look. Read what you see, and then write a book. He saw 12 angels in the east. 12 angels in the west. 12 angels in the north. 12 angels in the south. 48 angels to the city. 4 square wide. Hallelujah. Somebody know that I'm talking. Somebody number. Way up in the middle of the air. I'm talking.